see a nice full church, of course, and see the rain outside. Where we're coming from, it is bone dry, and apparently we got a text this morning that they got 2 inches at some people's ranch there, and it's like, yes, we need that. So good morning. I'm Rod, and this is Denise Nickel. We work with Village Missions of Canada, and your leadership invited us here 2 years ago to tell you about Village Missions and what we do. And your church has been generously supporting us in finances and prayer ever since, which we very, very much appreciate. And we're very thankful that you are partnering with us in the mission and the work at Golden Prairie. We're also thankful for the chance to come here today and tell you some of what God is doing in Golden Prairie and area. Now, Village Missions is an organization that helps country churches thrive. They help find and support pastors in small rural communities that can't find someone or don't have the resources for a full-time pastor. Our job is to preach the word and love the people. That's basically Village Mission's motto, if you want to call it that. God called us into ministry 10 years ago, and after graduating from Bible school, we became Village Missionaries. We've been at Golden Prairie Community Church for almost 7 years now.
To give you a bit of an idea of what our church and area is like, I Googled for comparison. In 2025, Westlock had a population of over 5,300 people. Golden Prairie, according to our last count, has 43 people.
Whoop, too fast there.
The RM of Big Stick is 0.2 people per square kilometer. So we've got one-tenth kind of the population of what you have there, but there's still people there who need to hear about Jesus. Westlock has 9 churches of various Christian denominations, from what I can tell. By God's grace and support from people like you, Golden Prairie is the best one. We want to tell you some of the things God's doing in Golden Prairie. Even though half the people who are regularly attending when we started going to Golden Prairie have now moved away, which often happens in rural areas, or have passed away, unfortunately, our church is not just half the size. God keeps bringing new people. We're still tiny, but there's new ones coming. Mary, and I have permission to use her name, lives in the house that we see our front window, and she's been there for a number of years before we came.
It's the yellow one in the background there.
The answers that she gives in Bible study show that she now understands that it's what Christ has done for us and not what we do that gives us that living relationship with Jesus. 2 years ago, Rod did a baptismal class for people who hadn't been baptized as believers. 7 people came, including Mary. That summer, we celebrated the baptism of 3 of the mother. And last year, as we had another baptism, I asked Mary if she was ready to be baptized as a believer, and she said, no, not yet. This last Christmas, I was just visiting with her, and I was she said, I have to tell you I made a decision. I want to be baptized this summer. So as of now, we have 3 more ready to be baptized this summer.
Last winter, we ran something called Contenders Bible Discipleship Initiative. It's a course that is actually put out online for free by Village Missions. And they are Bible school level courses aimed at people who can't go to Bible school but still want to learn the Bible. And if you're interested and want more information, actually we don't have more information at the back, but you can go to the Village Missions website and find it there. About half our congregation actually attended that. So that's pretty significant, including a couple who started about 2.5 years ago, started coming to church, and who are still exploring, really, what commitment to Christ means. in preparation for an earlier presentation to some other group, we had asked them in particular, what difference does it make that our church is actually here in Golden Prairie with a pastor? The man quickly commented, well, I can tell you I wouldn't be going to church. And yet, here he was, a cowboy, man who manages a community pasture, eagerly doing a course in bibliology, including lots of homework. In preparation for this presentation today, we asked people if they had anything they would want to tell you about our church. And this, the woman of this couple took a lot of time to write up some of her journey. And it's too long to present here, but we have copies of it on the table at the back in the foyer if you want to take it home and read. But just a little quick excerpt from that. It says, my husband and I found ourselves curious and full of questions about Jesus and the Bible. Something we agreed on was to find a church that taught us the Bible, not someone's opinion of it. With a background like mine, I'm sure you can tell that trust in anyone or anything is hard for me. So believe me when I say, I trust what Rod teaches, and that to me is everything. Now that is what Village Missions aims to do. Preach God's word accurately and just let it work in people's lives. Another comment from her, she said, I wanted you to know that in the middle of the Golden Prairie, God is doing great things and he's working in and through us.
3 summers ago, we had a town and country barbecue in front of the church to help connect the newer people in town, those who've been there 20 years or less, with the generational farmers and ranchers in the country because they just don't know each other. About 30 people came, which we thought was fantastic. One local farm family came with their 5 and their 7-year-old kids. And the boy is very gregarious, and after somebody said, can I see his eye? Sure, want him. And so his dad came with us, and kind of to my surprise, he started telling his son about growing up in the church, singing in the Christmas program, up on the stage. But he hadn't been in church in many years. As we went around the church, eventually the daughter and then the mom came in to see it as well. And we had some brochures in the foyer about the local town. And the parents took them home maybe next year. We've had occasional contact with them in various different ways. And 2 years ago, the family gave us a gift Easter for the first time. Last summer, when we had our one-day kid time event, the boy came, the girl came, because she was a Bible pastor that week. And then this past winter, for the first time, we've had a one-to-one kid time event on Saturday. And both kids came quite regularly, and the mom stayed down there with them too. They're now very comfortable in the church. They're attentive during the Bible time. And last year, the family came not only to Christmas Eve service, but also to Good Friday service. And as always, we presented the gospel as clearly as we could. This is what pastors need to stay in place for a long time. For Mary, it's been 4 years before she fully buried herself with all of Jesus, including the baptism. For the family, it's been 3 years in counting. And it's 2.5 in counting for the couple. But we're here because when God draws you to himself, he takes time to be there for us. We just need to be faithful to what he's called us and do what he's called us to do. And it's with the help of people like Jesus who's so thankful that your prayers, your support, we're able to do this. You are part of Golden Prairie Community Church and its outreach. And so if you want more information about the missions or what we do, we've got a table at the back. Just sign up for a monthly newsletter. I noticed you had enough on your bulletin board. Thank you. There's a prayer time in there. You can sign up to pray for us on a regular 1 day a month. It's there too. So thank you again so much for your support. And we appreciate you.
And with that, I've been also tasked with the privilege of bringing you God's word this morning. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to read to start with, though, from Genesis 15. And that's where the message will be coming from, 15 verses 1 to 5. And that lovely bird on there on the screen is the hallmark prairie bird, the meadowlark, singing away as we look forward to first thing in the spring. Genesis 15, 1 to 5, 1 to 6, sorry. It says, sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great. But Abram replied, O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings since I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant of my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir. Then the Lord said to him, No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Now, this little fellow on the screen is called an Ord's kangaroo rat. It's found only in Canada in the sand hills of southwest Saskatchewan, right in the area where we are. Some folks that go to our church ranch in that area, in over 26 years of living there, they have never seen one of these guys. They only come out at night. But in them showing us around their place, you can see the burrows, you can see their tracks on the sand dunes. But these little critters are unique in Canada and are found only there in the southwest Saskatchewan in the sand hills, only in those hills. So you can rest assured there are still, Alberta is still rat-free. Even though you don't have to worry about much about these little guys. But the key verse in today's message in Genesis is actually very similar. It's unique in the world of religion. It's different than anything else. Every religion has the internal structure of you got to do the right things in order to gain favor or be right with God. What you do matters. But the Bible teaches that is what God does, which we respond to. That's what matters and which brings us into a right relationship with God. Genesis 15:6 says, And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. What God teaches us in the Bible is completely unique, one of a kind in the whole world. The good things we do are useless in gaining anyone a right relationship with God. In his incredible love, God takes the initiative to do what we cannot do. Jesus came to earth and makes it possible for anyone to have a right relationship with God by putting their trust in him. And this is a unique message in the whole world of religion and in human thought in general. It's not what people know in general. But it is what people need to know in Golden Prairie, here in Westlock, and anywhere else in the world. It's just not natural to believe something like that. So we're going to look deeper into that today in Genesis 15:1-6. Now, just a quick background. We're told actually in Genesis 12:1 that God called a man by the name of Abram to follow him by leaving his homeland at a place called Ur and go into the land of Canaan. There's a quick little map there. So he went from the down far south there up to the top to a place called Haran, and he stayed there with his father for a little while. And then when his father died, he continued his journey down into the land of Canaan, a total trip of about 1,300 kilometers with everything he owned. Fun in those days. Abram is the same guy that everywhere else in the Bible is called Abraham, because in Genesis 17, 24 years after going to Canaan, God changed his name from Abram, which means exalted father, to Abraham, which means father of many. So when he reached Canaan, God promised Abram that he would be made into a great nation and he would have descendants as numerous as the dust on the earth. Now Abram has now been, when we come to chapter 15, he's been in Canaan for several years and he's had his ups and downs, if you've read those portions at all. And then the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision when he communicated three main things to him, that he could count on God, that he could count the stars, and that he would be counted as righteous. So to start with, Abram could count on God, verses 1 to 3 of chapter 15. It says, Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great. But Abram replied, O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant of my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir. So Abram and Sarai are not getting any younger at this point. And having a family to carry on after you was pretty important in those days. And after all, God had promised Abram in Genesis 12:2, and that he would make him into a great nation. In Genesis 13:16, God promised that Abraham's descendants would be as numerous as the dust on the earth. So he expresses right here his obvious concern that, hey, we still don't have any children. But if you notice, he's also respecting God as the true master. He's calling him sovereign Lord. He's acknowledging that he is the sovereign king, the one who does as he pleases. He does what is right. He has the authority and the power to do it. And this is how we also need to approach God of the Bible. He's the one who has the power and authority. He's our creator. He is our owner. And yet, he's the one who loves us far more than we can even understand. And God's okay with us questioning him when we have concerns or even doubts, just like Abram is doing here. Now, we aren't to challenge God's actions like we're somehow above him, telling him he's wrong and we're right. But we know that God doesn't mind what Abram is asking of him, because he answers the question in verse 4. Then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own, and he will be your heir." Who will be your heir? So the Lord is promising, even at this his age, and Abram's getting on in age, that he will have a son of his own. But to make sure that Abram understands what he's saying, the Lord illustrates his promise by inviting Abram to count the stars. Verse 5. Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, "Look up into the sky and count the stars, if you can. That's how many descendants you will have." Now, have you been out lately and looked at the night sky and taken in the vast number of stars? You're fortunate to live in an area that you're not too close to the city, and you can see some of it. For me, I've always been in awe of the incredible stars on a very clear night, and it had the same effect on Abram. Abram could visualize each little dot of light representing someone who would be descended from him. Now, it wasn't the number of stars and the number of descendants would match exactly. That wasn't God's point. But that there would be so many, they would be uncountable. So then, Abram chose to believe God. And on the basis of that, the Lord counted him as righteous. Verse 6. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. You notice he's not recorded as saying anything at all after God told him to look at the stars. He made no prayers or great declaration of faith. He didn't need to. His believing of God was inside him, and God is the one who knew it. Internally, Abram trusted and rested in the Lord, and that was enough. So what did he trust God to do? Well, that the Lord would do simply what he said. And that means Abram trusted in the character of Yahweh, the character of God. He trusted in who the Lord was, that he was truthful, keeping his word, keeping his promises, that he was all-powerful, that he could do what he's saying, that he was all-knowing, that he was perfect. Abram didn't trust in his own power, in his own knowledge, in his own perfection. In fact, Abram didn't do anything here. So why would the Lord count him as righteous? Romans 4, 1-5 actually speaks of this very event, and it helps us here. Romans 4, verse 1. Abram was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. What did he discover about being made right with God? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. But that was not God's way. For the scripture tells us, Abram believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. There he's quoting from Genesis 15:6. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. But people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in the God who forgives sinners. So here in Romans, Paul is very clear it isn't what we do that makes us right with God. If it was something we earned by own good works, well, we could brag about it, about how good we are. But that's not how God makes people righteous. No, the Bible's very clear that we can't by any means be made right by what we do. We're too sinful for that. Even one sin is enough to keep us away from God. God set up the only way that we can be right with him, which is the same way that Abraham was, through faith, through belief. So what does faith? Let's advance that. Hello. There we go. So what does faith or what does believe mean? Basically, in this case, it just says Abram believed God. It simply means to trust. It's to fully rest on what God had promised as being true, that God will do it. Trusting, and it's so in that way, it's really very simple. But true belief really isn't all that easy sometimes. We can be used to controlling our own lives and being everything, trying to do everything to make things happen the way we want them to happen. Even to trust someone else, even Almighty God, can be very difficult for us to do. But it isn't that complicated when you get down to it. Abram trusted God, and then it says that God counted him as righteous. Now, what does counted mean? Counted as righteous. Basically means to credit something to someone. I think of it in relation to like a bank account where someone else can put money into your account. God puts into someone's account righteousness. It belongs to them because God gave it to them. It's how God considers that person, sees them, even makes you. When God says you are righteous, he makes you spiritually righteous. You are in a right relationship with God. Well, what does righteous mean? Basically, being and doing what is perfect, morally right, true, and just. Does that describe you or me? No, it doesn't describe any of us, does it? It didn't describe Abram either. But how could the Lord be just? How could he be legally correct when he counts someone like Abram as righteous? Isn't the Lord just kind of ignoring their sin? There's something a lot deeper here that the Lord, the all-knowing, the all-powerful, perfectly holy one, is looking to. It's because the Lord could look ahead to what Jesus would do in order to justly make Abraham or anyone else who would trust in the Lord to be righteous. Abram, a lot of ways, foreshadows how the Lord would make anyone who puts their trust in God, in Jesus, to be made righteous. That is why this verse from Genesis 15:6 is so often quoted in the New Testament. Romans 4:23 continues, and it says, when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. So there he's pointing us right to Christ there. Jesus came to complete what was needed to make Abram a righteous person. In fact, the sin of all people, from Adam to us and beyond, had to be dealt with according to God's justice. We all have an infinite debt of judgment, which is deserving of death. And only infinite God, Jesus Christ, could pay that kind of a debt. He paid the penalty for us when he died on the cross. Galatians 3:13 says, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. He was hung on the cross. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in Scripture, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Jesus took that curse for all of us who believe, from Adam up to Abram, and all the way to us and beyond. And then Jesus proved that he finished that payment and satisfied God's justice when he rose from the dead and ascended back into heaven. That's the good news everyone needs to know. Our sins can be forgiven. We can be made right with God. It isn't because of what we do. It's because of what Jesus did, which we put our trust in, which we believe in. He did the work that we could not do. And this is why everyone here in Westlock or in Golden Prairie or anywhere else in the world needs to hear this message, this good news, this gospel, because it's available to all people. So, our faith, our trust in, our belief in Jesus is what makes us right with God. But our lives as we daily live them is also built on faith. It's not only how we become righteous in God's sight, how we gain a right relationship, it's also how we live. Genesis 5:6 is also quoted in the book of James. It shows us that Abram is our example of faith, both in becoming a follower of the Lord and in showing that we are true people of faith by also acting on our belief. Just because we don't do anything except trust in the Lord to become right with God doesn't mean that our actions are not important. They really are very important. James makes this point using this same verse from Genesis 15:6 about Abram's belief. In James 2:18-24, which I won't take time to read, but you can go there if you like, James mentions what happens in Genesis 22. This is where Abram was obedient to God when God told him and commanded him to offer up his son Isaac. He went through and did what God asked him to do. And that showed that he truly believed God's promise of a son and that a great nation would come from him, would come from that very son. If he hadn't acted on what he said, did he really believe God? The fact is that we will act upon what we truly believe. We will live it out. Those who've gone to church for a long time, those of us, we really like Genesis 15:6. It's nice knowing that Jesus paid for our sins. We believe that, and we're in a right relationship with God. But sometimes we might sit and enjoy that knowledge, but it doesn't really touch our lives. James is saying that if it doesn't touch our lives, if it doesn't change our lives, if it doesn't radically affect how we live our lives, maybe it really isn't real in us. Maybe we really don't believe it like we think we do. Maybe we just gave lip service for salvation and are just sitting here thinking we're right with God when we really aren't. If our faith is real in our lives, we need to understand that sometimes God asks hard things for those of us who follow him. He asked Abraham to offer up his son that he was promised. Now, rarely does God, of course, ask things like that. But he also often asks us all kinds of things, even smaller things, of course. So will you risk talking to your friend about Jesus, about the one who loves you and has saved you? Will you give of your time to help where it's needed in Christ's work somewhere? Maybe even will you answer his call to go into ministry somewhere? We don't know what God's going to ask of us, but true faith means the answer is always, yes, Lord, I will do what you ask. Because as the saying goes, we are saved by faith alone, but faith does not remain alone. It's always shown in how we act, what we do, and how we live our daily lives. And that's what other people see. They see Jesus in us and through us, and that attracts them to Jesus as well and brings them to faith. So do you really believe? Are you really right with God? Is that belief being lived out in your life every day? And if not, what needs to change? Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful that you've given me a chance to bring your word here of Abram and of the faith that he put in you, his trust, his belief, and how you credited him with righteousness. Thank you that that is available to every single one of us because of what Jesus did on the cross, taking our sin, and you took our sin, and then you give us your righteousness in place of that. Thank you for that. Help us live it out in our lives today in whatever context each one of us comes from. Help us to always look to you, and just simply our answer to you would always be yes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Rod, Denise. We'd like to pray for you.